going deaf.
Can't hear that thing.
Yeah. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Here are some aroused replacements for Sarah. By aroused replacement, she means replacement for the word aroused, which you don't like. Tingly. Swollen. Sloshing. Inflated state. Throbbing. Turgid. Engorged. Any of these? How's your yogurt?
Somebody's seen 10 things I hate about you way too many times.
All right. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like with, you know, whatever. This song is freaking me out. It's 503-733-2970. You can also... I'm also emailing if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com.
What?
It's Todd the Corpse. Scotty had made some observation about having somebody's phone number. He's like, he typed on the screen, I have that guy's phone number. And I thought he was talking about Brent from the Muddy River Nightmare Band. And then I thought he was talking about Todd the Corpse. Turns out he's talking about neither of those people, somebody else. But Todd the Corpse immediately freaks out. And he says, wait a minute, I took 3 seconds to actually speak to another person in real life, and I missed something about somebody having my phone number. Is it Scotty J? What the hell? Why? I'm so confused. Please help me. There you go. Best not to think about it, sir. I haven't even read the email from Todd the Corpse about he and Mrs. Corpse celebrating their honeymoon and then him waking up with a scorpion on his body. I'll get to that. Okay. What were we doing here? Oh, so we have all this, God. At some point, how did we work our way into this? You had, Tim had a story about Anna Nicole Smith. I had noted that she's looking really bad, and here's why Anna Nicole Smith's looking really bad. Because it's sort of like when you put, I don't know. It's like having one really nice house in a neighborhood, and then the rest of the neighborhood goes to crap. And so you've got this whole neighborhood that's just a disaster, and there's one really nice area in the middle of it. So it is with the body of Anna Nicole Smith. Because, and you don't remember this probably, but for the longest time, I don't mean to sound lurid about this, but I'm simply going to say, I don't mean to sound tingly about this. I don't mean to slosh. I'm just going to say that Anna Nicole Smith, and you may laugh at this. This is one of those things that you may find funny, but it seemed plausible at the time. She claimed for the longest time that her breasts were all real, that she did not have implants, which was believable because she's a big girl. I mean, she in fact is not only the tallest, she is the tallest and heaviest woman to ever be a Playmate of the Year. I mean, I don't know if you've ever really seen her standing next to like a normal-sized woman. She's a big woman. And I hate to say this, but she is big-boned as well. She's got a big frame. And so she claimed, and her Anna Nicole's bosoms are not that absurdly large when you compare them to the size that she used to be physically. It did seem plausible. And then later it came out that it was bad implants, blah, blah, blah. But the problem is, now the rest of her body is just sort of withering away, just becoming like bad, decaying plants on a vine, just like every other woman in Hollywood. But the breasts have remained the same size, and so they just look all weird. And so I had noted that there's this picture of Victoria's Beckham, who is Posh Spice. And she is a miniature woman in person. Like I said, we were about 10 feet away from her at the Daily Show taping, and just a stick. Just so, and she's gotten thinner even since then. But her implants, and they're very obviously implants, are just, they're still flawless. They're still a 10. Like, if you could just look at those, and just, like, if you could Photoshop out in real life the rest of her, and Photoshop a better-looking woman in behind them, it'd be wonderful. And so that prompted this whole question about, because I made the observation that 50 years from now, they're still going to look great. She'll be dead. She will be dust. But they're still going to look fantastic. And so we didn't realize exactly what happens to your implants.
I have a feeling this is another twins connected by the hair question.
Maybe.
The boobie doctor is in.
I had to play it. But then we had all kinds of questions about, like, is it a casket or a coffin and what's the difference? Frank, hello, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. You know, when you become a donor in the state of Oregon and you donate your organs, well, the breasts are included in that.
The booby doctor is in.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, it's all part of the, you know, they're vital organs.
Okay, let's hold on. Let's get a hold of ourselves. Are you just winding us up here, as the British would say?
Oh, would I? Rick.
All right. Thank you.
A loyal listener, I wouldn't do that to you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry. Thanks. There you go. I was not quick enough on the draw with this, but we'll just call it a, and... David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
How you doing, sir?
Hi there. Is this going to be, is this another, you didn't wait 10 minutes to give us a bad joke, did you?
No, bad joke.
Thank you. How can I help you?
I had a friend of mine worked at a crematorium and offered me a part-time job for a weekend.
Okay.
Cleaning out the furnace.
Ah! I didn't see it going there. I really didn't, and I should have. That's a thing. That's a blind alley that I should have known was. So he just, what is he? He just needed a couple of bucks, and he's like, well, here's a shovel. Is that really what that was? I mean, I don't mean to be morbid, but I guess there's really no getting around it at this point. So he's
cleaning out the burned out tap.
Literally bringing out your dead.
Yes.
And so, did you say yes?
Nah, that's just one of those oogie things I didn't want.
Yeah, you can never get rid of that. If I can ask this, how much did it pay?
I didn't go that far.
Really? Because, I mean, it seems like at a certain... It does seem like there's a certain dollar amount at which that would become less oogie, but I have to say that, and again, I don't look down on people or think people are weird if they are involved in one of the death-oriented professions. Look, we've all got to make a living. Everybody got to do something. And you know what? Dead people got to get taken care of somehow. Somebody's got to do it. So I don't look down on a guy who picks up trash. I don't look down on a guy who deals with the deceased. Everybody's got to be taken care of. These are jobs that have to be done. So I'm going to say that right now. I do not wish to further the stereotype that someone who works in a death-oriented profession is creepy because, again, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Everybody's got to do something. We have a good friend of ours, actually. I don't know if I should mention it, but we have a good friend of ours who is actually the first male in his family to not work in that profession. That everybody did, and it was like a total 6 feet under thing where it came down to him, and he's just like, I will pass. What was my question? So, no, we have an astounding number of people who listen to the show, though, who do work in some sort of death-related field. We used to have this guy named Troy, and Troy moved away. But we had this guy named Troy, and his job was to deliver corpses to crematoriums. That was his thing. And he actually brought us at one point, when we were working over at Fisher, this was actually in my cubicle. He brought us a cremation tray, and it was a cardboard wood thing that you use to, like, you know, because I guess you know. That's how you do it. No, I'm just saying. And so that was decoration in my cubicle for a while. Then I just got rid of it because there was nowhere to intercom. Yeah, there was nowhere to big enough to hold it. You couldn't really put it in the studio. Anyway. So we're still trying to find an answer to this question of whether they take the implants out. See, I'm not even really talking about so much of the cremation. I'm talking about when they bury you. You know what I mean? Terry, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick. How's it going?
Oh, you know, it's been a very peculiar program today, but what can you do?
One of many.
Yes.
Listen, my mom was cremated, and she had implants, and they left him in. My dad was cremated, and he was cremated in his gray suit. And they also do bury you with your implant in.
Well, see, so they do. So they do leave them in when you're buried. Well, see,
yes, they do.
I figured that would be the case because especially if they do some sort of viewing, if it's open, a casket funeral or whatnot, they wish for you to be seen in it. They wish for people to see you as you lived.
Right, nobody is going to donate your implant.
That was a guy with a little too much time on his hands.
I think he's been drinking.
Yeah. No, because, I mean, really, if you lived as a woman with gigantic fake pendulous bosoms, then, you know, that is how ye shall be seen in ye final moments.
That's right.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Terry. All right. There you go, Terry. Oh, wait. Here's an email from Brent. Here we go. This is our good friend Brent. He said, Rick, I'm trying to call, but I can't get through. It's because people are lining up to give, like, fake implant jokes. Rick, I'm at work, but my friend Steve called me and said you have some questions about cremation, autopsies, and such. I'll be happy to answer them for you. I may catch the last hour. I'm not able to listen now. I may catch the last hour while I'm in the embalming room. That's your yogurt. I can only listen there and in the car. I leave your show on for many a deceased person. That's weird. That's really strange that there's actual, that they're not listening, but that our program is actually being broadcast at deceased people.
Did you ever see that Twilight Zone where the guy was trapped inside of his own body and he was being embalmed?
Is that a new Twilight Zone?
No, it was an older one.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, maybe it was,
That might have been like an Outer Limits, no, or an Alfred Hitchcock or something.
No, who was the, like, little creepy guy? in the house. Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. No, yeah. That's totally
that
a Tales from the Crypt.
That has totally scarred me. I watched that in, like, sixth grade, and it was this guy who was trapped inside of his own body, and he couldn't move, and everyone thought he was dead, and he's sitting there screaming out.
Okay, can we just cut out the middleman here, so to speak? Can you play the corpse watch theme? Because I got lots of thoughts to, and plus I got to get some coffee.
Okay, and then come and let this go.
Yeah, we'll finish this segment, and then we'll break.
Okay.
I'm digging up home, I'm digging up home, doing things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. Yeah, now I'm sitting alone, I'm digging up home.
Oh, I gotta finish this. I'm halfway done my cup of coffee. Just hold on a second. All right. Tales from the Crypt. That, and see, how old were you when you saw that episode about the guy being embalmed when he's still alive? Like 12, 13?
Yeah, he was getting an autopsy when he was still alive.
And it was, yeah, you're probably 13 or so?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the scarring age.
And there was that other one, too, where the guy catches, where this guy wants to kill his wife or something, so he buries her up to her neck and...
Creepshow.
Yeah,
Creepshow. Ted Danson. That Ted Danson and Leslie Nielsen. That's one of my all-time favorite movies, by the way, is Creepshow.
Yeah.
Oh, I can do... Okay, can I just tell you this? I can do... have you only seen that once?
Mm-hmm.
That Creepshow? I can do whole sequences of dialogue from that section of the film. Because that Creepshow is an anthology. And that particular story... You know, Stephen King wrote that, and he's the king of the messed up... If you want a guy to think of just messed up crap, that's a whole lot of, like... I could just make Harry all gone as he's like, as he's putting sand all around Ted Danson's face. You gotta hold your breath, Harry. The waves come in so cold, so salty. And then the waves go out and you try to snatch a quick breath before they come back in. Yeah, I've seen that movie like 100 times. I'm all over that film, Creepshow. It's a fantastic film. Go back and watch that, man.
I thought that was an episode.
No. It's a full... Yeah, it's an anthology, though. So, you know, it's 5 stories that they stitched together into a movie written by Stephen King. And it was based on a comic book that he did called Creepshow.
Is that the one that has... Does it have Dennis Miller in it at some point?
No, that's Bordello of Blood.
Okay. Which I've seen.
Jesus Christ. And what is wrong with me?
And Angie Harmon. Is that her name?
Erica Laniak. Angie Harmon, I think, is also in it, though.
Okay.
But Erica Laniak, Playmate of the Year, is in that. No, but here's the thing, and it comes full circle. Here's the thing about Creepshow. Creepshow, it's an anthology film. It's 5 stories in a film. And it was basically, that was before the Tales from the Crypt series came out. Creepshow was a movie that Stephen King made as an homage to the Tales from the Crypt comic of the 50s. And so Creepshow deliberately looks like Tales from the Crypt. Mm-hmm. Because that was before Tales from the Crypt was even revived as a TV show, and Stephen King loved it so much growing up, he wanted to make a tribute. That's why Creepshow seems like a Tales from the Crypt. That was very deliberate. It's a great movie, though. You talk about being messed up by the Tales from the Crypt, where the guy has the autopsy alive. Here's the thing that screwed me up and baked my noodle when I was a kid. I used to watch Alfred Hitchcock Presents, which is the same thing. It's an anthology show. There's this Alfred Hitchcock Presents. It's not even Halloween, but I guess we are leading up to it. There's this Alfred Hitchcock Presents where there's this guy in prison, and he's trying to break out of prison like they all do, and he works in the prison funeral home, and that's his whole thing. Is like, you know, some guys work in the laundry, some guys make license plates, some guys work in the kitchen. He works in the prison funeral home. So when a prisoner dies, they get buried and they get put in the potter's grave out back or whatever. And so he strikes a deal with the Undertaker. He's like, I'll tell you what, I work there, I work down by the prison, the funeral home. I'll tell you what, here's like, you know, $500 or whatever it is in 1950s money. Here's $500, and like, there's 500 more on the outside. The next time a guy dies, I slip into the coffin with him. They bury me, you come dig me up an hour later, I run for the hills, I'll give you money.
No.
So that's the thing, the Undertaker's like, all right, you know, the next guy that dies, you get in the coffin, you know, we'll bury you. And then I'll come and dig you up like an hour later, and you give me money. And the guy's like, okay, that's the deal. So, you know, so he slips in, so the, you know, the criminal, like, slips into the funeral home late at night, and he's like, okay, I'm not getting the coffin. He gets in the coffin. And then you hear the guys, like, pounding down the lid. It's a lot of, like, they're pounding the lid down. And then they cut to, and it's so excruciating. Hitchcock was messed up, man. There was something really wrong with that guy. So I'm sitting there watching him as a kid, and this is in the 1950s, and they're getting away with this. I mean, it was terrifying. So they cut to the inside of the coffin, right? And so here's the prisoner inside the coffin. And, of course, they're doing a lot of close-in, like, And he's lighting a match inside and looking. He's lighting a match inside the coffin and looking at his watch. And he's underground, right? He's 6 feet under the ground, and he's the whole one of like, come on, come on, dig me up, come on, come on, come on, quit fooling around, quit, dig me up. And he keeps looking at his watch, and they show that like an hour's gone by, and like 75 minutes, and he's, you know, he's having trouble breathing, and like he's running out of oxygen inside the coffin, and then it's just so tense. They cut to the guy, and then they cut back and forth between these two shots. They cut back and forth between a shot of, like, the guy in the coffin beneath the ground going, come on, come on, you know. And then they cut to just above ground where they just show nothing. You know, it's just a mound of dirt. And then, of course, what finally happens? What's the final? The final thing is he's running out of oxygen inside the coffin because the guys never showed up to dig him up. He's running out of oxygen. And as he's sort of flailing away from lack of oxygen inside the coffin, pulls the sheet off the guy in the coffin with him. Oh, it's the guy that was supposed to dig him up. Ugh. So there you go, because he died. So... because that's the guy.
I know.
That ended up being the next guy. And
that's horrible.
Yeah,
why
and
are
when
you
you're,
talking
because
about
because when you're like 11, that I can remember...
When I'm 25, that scares
it,
me.
I did not sleep for like 3 or 4 days when I was a kid. That just messed me up like you would not even believe. So how weird, though, that we're broadcasting. Here's a real one. And this is not a story about it. No, this is not a story about a dead person. But you want to know one more... do you want to hear something really scary?
Okay.
Okay, final story, then we'll take these calls, then we'll break. This is not about a dead person as such, but I, there's a friend of a friend who got busted for DUI in Oregon. And part of the punishment, the court-ordered punishment is that, you know, you have to go a treatment program and you have to whatever. You have to, he had to do like a day in jail or something. But part of the DUI punishment here, and I think it was Oregon, I don't think it was Washington. Might have been Vancouver, I guess, but it was in Oregon. Part of the DUI treatment is that within the next 30 days, he had to go down, and it's like a scared straight thing. He had to go down to the coroner's office, and he had to see, like, you know, a body that was a victim of a DUI. That was part of the thing. It's like you got to pay like $1,000. You got to do a day in jail. And then it's a whole scaring story. It's like you have to go downtown and you have to go to the coroner's office and you have to see what a DUI victim looks like, you know, sometime in the next 30 days. Okay, but think about this. How weird is that? That he has to go down and see somebody who's a DUI victim within the next 30 days, which by definition means it's somebody walking around right now. How weird is that? He said that was the part that freaked him out the most. Is that he would walk around downtown, or he'd be driving along, and he'd be like, I have 30 days before I have to go see this corpse, you know. So it's somebody who, by definition, is alive right now. And he said that was the weirdest thing, is that somebody was walking around not knowing they were going to be his scared straight lesson. That'll freak you out. All right. How did the show become this? Oh, is this Brent? Fantastic. Oh, and Dad works for Breast Implant Company. Back to back. Well, let's talk to our good friend, Brent. Brent, how you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
You know, this show took a weird turn about 10 minutes ago.
That's what I've heard. I was trying to get through for a while. I got a phone call. Somebody's like, are you listening to Rick Emerson? I'm like, no, I'm in my desk. He's like, got a call. They're talking about you.
No, is it because there's a short list of guys we know who deal with the departed. And you so Sarah, initially it all came, but the first question was Sarah wondering if they bury folks with their breast implants.
Yes.
Okay, then that was my speculation because, again, you want to be seen as you lived.
Yeah, I have to admit, the very first time I saw that was on a lady who was about 70.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what the heck's wrong with her? What? It just wasn't normal.
Right, right, yeah.
Right up.
Yeah, because it's like you sort of, you know, yeah, everything else in your body kind of goes to hell except for that. All right, the difference between a casket and a coffin, is there one?
Yes, a coffin is like the old, you know, six-sided, kind of like you think, you
the
know.
Pine box.
Not a casket is like that's what you call them nowadays. That would be like a square, what you generally see at any funeral now.
Is a casket more upscale?
Not necessarily.
All right, because Tim and I were quarreling about whether or not a casket and a coffin. Did you know there's a place in Seattle called the Casketeria?
No, I didn't know that.
There's a place, it's right by the Oboy Oberto Sausage Factory. I know that sounds like a joke. No, seriously, because I go to the Oboy Oberto outlet store whenever I'm there. It's like a wholesale store where you can buy sausage pieces in bulk. And I swear to Christ, right next to the Oboy Oberto Sausage Outlet store is a place called the Casketeria. I swear to God, it's absolutely true. You can look it up.
That makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Did we have any, while we're online with Mortician Brent, do we have any other questions?
No.
Sarah's regretting that she brought the whole thing up.
I just want to be done with this.
You just want to wash your hands of it all.
But I do have an old 30s. We have a really, really old coffin here where I work. Like a really kind of strange European one I could show you sometime.
Photo op, Sarah. We need to get those new cast photos taken.
Okay, Rick.
I'm just saying. So it's kind of bizarre, though, that you have the show on while you're dealing with the dearly departed. It's kind of strange that we are... It's weird that we're broadcasting to people in death who actually might have listened to us in life. That's a weird thing.
Yeah, I keep it on down in the embalming room all the time. I always keep the station on.
Well, you know,
24/7.
So they get to listen to the joys of Tom Likas.
There are new P1s right there. We probably have like a 90 share when it comes to corpses. I'm not going to tell the sales department about that. All right, Brett. Thank you, sir.
No problem. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you. There you go. There's Mortician Brent, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get this. This is a graveyard employee. Dan, we've talked to Dan before. Graveyard man Dan. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Rick.
Hi. I'm sorry, Dan. I know that Scott got to get a hold of you, and then we had all these calls. Have we answered all the questions? Did you have anything to contribute before we bring the lid down on this unfortunate segment?
Yeah, you about answered everything.
Okay. Well, you know, God bless you for calling it. We appreciate it, though.
I mean, what could you do with an implant?
Really nothing. There's, you know, you can't really donate those. You can't give those to Goodwill.
They probably make good paperweights.
Yes. All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Dan. There you go. Sorry about that. That's Dan. Yeah, I appreciate you staying on hold. Okay. Callers want name of Hitchcock movie. It wasn't. There's three different things we're talking about. Sarah was talking about Tales from the Crypt episode. Then we were talking about part of the movie Creepshow, written by Stephen King, directed by George Romero, which is a fantastic film, by the way. Avoid the inferior sequel. And then I was talking about an episode of the TV show Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and this would have dated from the late 50s, early 60s. Wasn't really a movie. So there you go. And we're done. Okay. It's 503-733. They do not sell caskets at Costco. Don't be ridiculous. It's 503-733-2970. Let's break, Sarah.
I'm digging up.
Oh, thank you. I forgot all about that. All right. We'll be back after this, kids. Don't go anywhere. The Rick Emerson Show continues next. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Still to come, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Don't let me forget, if we go into this next break, we're going to play the Week in Geek. Week in Geek into the next break. But, oh, and someone that you hate is getting hit in the face. And I don't know that there's a video of it, but we have a picture afterward. Now, I'm not saying it's right to hit people, but...
Sometimes it is.
See, you can say that. You're allowed to say, I can't say that.
Everybody knows that.
Huh. I'm not allowed to say, she had it coming. I see how I can't say that.
I'll say it. She had it coming.
There you go. Straight from Sarah's mouth. Something you love is going to be canceled, and don't mess with bees. That's all coming up. We've also got a definitive answer about the Costco thing. We'll get to that as well. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado... A man, a legend, a personal savior, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Jennifer Anderson and Vince Vaughn are no more.
Bam!
Us Weekly reports that the breakup is real. The West Coast executive editor Tim Baker said the relationship ended because Vaughn was just a rebound guy for Anderson following her split from Brad Pitt.
I think that what happened was when the dust settled and reality hit, she realized, you know... Vince really isn't the long-term guy for me.
No.
A little more serious, a little more put together, and Vince is a fun, great guy, but just not the guy for
me. He is the very definition of a fun-time guy, I think. Even I can see that. I don't think anybody looks at Vince Vaughn and goes, yeah, it's a hard-working, stable, down-to-earth guy who just wants to sit at home and sip milk with his kids. Nobody thinks that. And he's pudgy.
Well, Vince Vaughn's mom cautioned him that his relationship with Jennifer was moving much too fast.
We're told that he's really a mama's boy, and that Vince's mom said, look, you're moving too fast, you should not be engaged to her, you really need to back off. And that's when they really started having talks about it.
Okay. This is so sad, because can't we just see that the future is stretching out for Jennifer Aniston? They don't have kids. Aniston didn't have any kids, does she?
No.
No, that was initially the rumor why they broke up.
Oh, the Brad wouldn't spawn?
I don't. I just found that so weird, though. So he proposed to her, and then right after that, they broke up.
Vince Vaughn proposed?
Yeah.
When?
Well, that's the story that I read, that he proposed in early September.
Maybe he proposed, and then maybe that's when the mom stepped in and was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Look, I hate to say this, but can't we just see the future laid out before us where she's just going to be a sad spinster? I can totally see that. She just has that vibe about her. She just has that sad aunt who never gets married, who all the kids love. She comes over for Christmas and the holidays, and the little kids all like her, but she can never find a man. It was just too bad, but I mean, that she totally seems to have that kind of that track record going on right now.
Well, what can you do?
Meanwhile, Paris Hilton claims former beauty queen Shannon Moakler punched her in the face in a Hollywood nightclub earlier this morning.
And there's a picture afterward. Now, the injury isn't as large as some of us might like, I found it on...
Is that the one on Paris Hilton?
Probably the same one. I found it somewhere else. Probably.
Yeah, but I don't, because it wasn't labeled as right afterward.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I think it might just be an old picture.
So maybe that's an Aaron Carter.
Yeah.
That dates from the Aaron Carter days.
Oh, Nick Carter.
Nick Carter or Aaron Carter?
Nick Carter.
Oh, Aaron Carter's the creepy kid in his underwear on the cover of the CD. Yeah. So that might be from the Nick Carter era, that dust up there. So
Moakler contends she was attacked by Hilton's ex-boyfriend, Stavros Nachos, who bent her wrist, poured a drink on her, and shoved her down a flight of stairs.
And so why...
That guy just seems like a bastard.
He really does. And so the thing is, if she was attacked by Stavros Nachos, or whatever his name is, why did she then, I mean, apart from the obvious, why did she punch Paris?
Well, the hotel era says she was struck around 1 o'clock in the morning shortly after arriving at Hyde Nightclub with Nachos.
Now, really, now she said that because the last thing I have from her is that she's denying it.
That, according to her publicist, Elliot Mintz.
Yeah, but see, Elliot Mintz was denying it today.
Mintz said Hilton told him Moakler walked up to his client, used the most vile of language, and then struck Hilton in the jaw with her fist.
Let's all just
stop. Hilton claimed the alleged attack was unprovoked.
It's not unprovoked. She's a whore.
I guess,
a stupid, spoiled whore.
Well, I've read a lot about this today, and a lot of it says that...
Can I ask you this? Is it wrong that this makes me a little, tingly? Really?
Come on.
Is it wrong?
I'm not even discussing this.
I'm serious, though. You admit that you are really excited by this news. I want you to admit it.
Not in that way.
I'm not saying in that way. I'm not allowed to...
I think it's awesome. I hope that Shannon doesn't get in trouble. Paris Hilton just seems like one of those girls who's probably heckling her all night.
I'm not saying that it makes me feel the special swimsuit vibe. I'm just saying that it's like a warm glow is what I'm saying.
It is. I wouldn't want to mess with Shannon Moakler. Like, she looks like she could beat a bitch up.
I feel like E.T., where I've got the glowing, warm heart thing going on. Listen to this. It's just a headline.
And if Paris Hilton dumped a drink on her head, that's some sort of abuse or...
That's
assault, isn't it?
There is actually a codicil in the law. It is the so-called fighting words codicil, which is like if I were to come up to somebody and I'm like, yeah, you know, your mother's a skis, you know, and whatever. And it's like there is a thing in the law. It's a provocation. Like spitting on somebody, actually, that's assault. But there is in the law a recognition that there are, quote, fighting words, which is somebody not hitting you but doing something where they were asking for it.
I knew a guy who this girl threw a drink on him, and he had her arrested.
Really?
For that, yep.
Now listen,
to spend the night in jail.
I'm just going to read this headline again. Let's all just feel the sweet balm of this coating our souls. Because the headline here, and this is from the Bosch, they're different. The headline just says it all. Just makes you feel so warm and tingly inside. Paris Hilton beaten by Shannon Moakler.
Yeah.
God, just feel that. It's like a fine wine rolling around on your tongue. It's like a warm brandy. Sexy socialite Paris Hilton, fresh from a European promotional tour, got beaten down.
What is she promoting?
Herself.
Her vagina.
Yeah.
Look at it!
Yeah, fresh from a tour where there are all these pictures of her and Travis Barker in Amsterdam together.
And that's Shannon Moakler's ex or soon-to-be ex.
Mm-hmm. Very recent ex.
Paris' publicist, spilling to TMZ, says his client was at the Hyde nightclub Wednesday night and at approximately 1:10 a.m. was approached by Shannon Moakler. And you're right. I don't know a whole lot about Shannon Moakler. All I know is that reality show, The Barkers or whatever,
Meet the Barkers.
You're right. She looks like a badass. I mean, I didn't know that she was with Oscar De La Hoya beforehand. You got to be tough if you're going to be that guy.
Yeah, she has. She had a daughter with him.
There's a whole lot of women. You could do a whole list of women you don't want to screw with. And you said Shannon Doherty, same one.
Well, that's how I first heard of Paris Hilton back in, I think, when I was in, like, early college or in high school, because I remember Shannon Doherty dumping a drink on Paris Hilton's head and smacking her for sleeping with her boyfriend.
Shannon Doherty beat your ass. Shannon Doherty's a woman. She's, like, cut from the Tonya Harding mold. I've always thought so. You don't want to screw with Shannon Doherty. She'll kill you. I remember, what was the first time? Well, we'll talk about that later. Shannon Mogler began cursing Paris Hilton. We imagine, this is their observation. We imagine the word slut was used multiple times. Paris Hilton says at that point, Mogler struck her in the jaw, wait for it, with a closed fist.
Yeah.
As she continued to shout profanities. Mintz says Mogler was restrained, and several people helped Paris exit out. Oh, this is what it is. Mintz says, says that Hilton never hit her back. Mintz says Hilton never touched Mogler. Uh-huh. Sources tell TMZ the bad blood between Hilton and Mogler is over Hilton's friendship with Travis Barker. Mogler apparently has left menacing phone messages on Hilton's answering machine. There's certain people, when they threaten you, you listen. Travis Barker's wife, Shannon Mogler, confessed to Us Magazine that she once considered Hilton a friend. For Travis to go out with her is like a double whammy, she says. I feel like it was done out of spite. I don't... And being dumped for Paris Hilton. You know, Ice-T, sage giver of wisdom that he is, he once had a really, really good piece of advice. He's like, what did he say? He's like, if you're going to step out on your girlfriend, your wife, or your husband, your boyfriend, whatever, do it with somebody hotter. Do it with somebody hotter and more desirable in every way, because then at least they go like, well, what can you do? You know, you step out for somebody who's just... an undesirable tramp in every conceivable fashion. Really, what does that say to your wife? You know what I mean? Well, there was a homeless girl downtown. Barker denies that Hilton is more than a friend. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, but here's the good part. Here's the part you really care about. TMZ reports that Mogler went down to the station to file a report against Paris's companion that evening, Stavros Niarchos, alleging he poured a drink over her head. A source tells TMZ... that Mogler alleges that Niarchos then shoved her down some stairs. That's a gentleman right there. Police took photos of both women at the police station. So there's yet another mugshot of Paris Hilton that's going to be coming out. So I wonder if that's that photo that they claim. Well, it's too late for that. It's too soon for that to be out.
How come Paris Hilton gets so much empathy? She has a DUI. She's a total notorious whore. I just don't get it.
I don't know that she does get empathy. Apart from Scotty J., and this is like we used to say about Jennifer Lopez back in the day, but it's like, it's time 10 with Paris Hilton. I don't know anyone who likes her. Anyone, ever. I don't know anybody anywhere who likes her. And I'm not...
Except for other celebrities. It's just frustrating to see her, you know...
But
with
why?
All these...
What does she even have to offer? She's rich. So goddamn what? Everybody's rich. I mean, that's the thing. Everybody in that circle is rich. And I'm not trying to do like a big talk radio topic here where you call in about the subject of the hour. That's not... We don't really do that. But I am going to... We will leave... Scotty, let's make sure that we always leave a line open here because I really would like to hear if there's someone who really can tell us why everybody is so into Paris Hilton. I really honestly am curious, and I think that's your deal too. I just don't know. I don't understand. She's not that hot. So she's rich. Big deal. Like I said, everybody she hangs out with is hot. I mean, she acts like a whore.
Sorry, one of my friends is in the hallway, and I have no idea why he's here.
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe he's stalking you. can he talk about Paris Hilton?
Never mind.
You can't do that to me.
I know, but it was something about.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I just don't understand. So if you are somebody, and I really strongly doubt that this is the case, but if you're somehow into Paris Hilton, or even like you know somebody, like you got a wife, girlfriend, husband, whatever, who's into Paris Hilton, you call us and tell us why. It really is honest curiosity on my part, and I think Sarah's part as well. It's 503-733-2970. All right, in the meantime, here's Jim Riley.
Anyway, attention, Scotty. What would happen if toy guns were taken away from boys? Well, that's happening in Texas. Criminals sometimes use fake guns for robberies, they say. Police sometimes mistake them for real guns and respond with deadly force. That's why Dallas City Council is working to ban toy guns. Congressman Leo Cheney Jr. said a council committee got some discouraging news about this, though.
Well, there's still some challenges that many of the committee members would like to see addressed. And I'm optimistic that we will reach a consensus.
They're what? They're getting rid of toy guns where?
Dallas Texas.
Man, really, if you can't keep toy guns in Texas, where
they
can
want people to talk things out.
Where can, yes. Where can you keep, really, that's a bellwether. That's the canary in the coal mine right there in terms of
Soon it'll happen in Beaverton.
Oh, by the way, attention Scotty J. Mark Foley was a Boy Scout. This email says, Rick, I was doing a quick search to see if Mark Foley was a Boy Scout, and I found something interesting, if not altogether unsurprising. Google has a link to the official Boy Scouts of America website that shows senators and representatives who have been associated with the Scouts. The interesting thing is that the page cached by Google on September 26th shows that Mark Foley was both a Scout and a Scout leader. But, of course, their current version of the page, October 3rd, that's presently on the Boy Scouts website, does not have him listed at all. I have attached PDF printouts of the two different pages, if you doubt me. That's from Mike. So there you go. Mark Foley, Boy Scout, Scout leader. There you go. Just get your kids there tomorrow. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Meatloaf says in his upcoming concert tour, he promises concert goers they won't just hear a reproduction of the album. The veteran performer says with his shows, his goal is to present something fans can't get from a CD. Oh, with one exception. That'll be Bat Out of Hell 3. The monster is loose.
Yes.
My belief is if you want to hear the songs, buy the record. If you want to see it live, there's not a chance that I'm going to play it exactly like the record. Not going to do it. Not going to exist. There's going to be extra solos. There's going to be pieces that,
because they're not long enough,
arrangement pieces that are stuck in. Because what's the point? What's the point of watching it live if it's going to be just like the record? And I think that's boring.
Well, that's a fair point. I saw Def Leppard, man. It was just like listening to the CD. It was so terrible. It's like 20 minutes in. I was, why am I there? Have you seen Meatloaf ever?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you got to see him. When
oh,
he tours.
I will.
And I mean, look, I'm under no illusion. I know Bat Out of Hell 3 is going to be crap, but yeah.
Anything called The Monster is loose.
Well, and he had that whole falling out with Jim Steinman, and I can't get with it. To me, it's a package.
So Jim Steinman, some of his songs are going to be on this album, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a weird relationship that those guys have, because Steinman wrote and did not produce, but arranged, I believe, all of the original Bat Out of Hell, him and Todd Rundgren. So, but Steinman wrote the whole thing, and then he wrote and produced all of Bat Out of Hell 2. But Meatloaf and Steinman have had, Jim Steinman, who is the sort of guy who writes all of that stuff, it's sort of an Elton John, Bernie Taupin kind of a relationship. But even when they were having a falling out, they didn't want to work together, Meatloaf would still do some of his songs. Like Meatloaf did a song called Read Him and Weep, which was a Steinman song, even though he wasn't even speaking to Jim Steinman at the time. I know that the upcoming Bat Out of Hell 3 has him doing It's All Coming Back to Me Now, which is a Jim Steinman song.
I'm so stoked to hear that.
He did it on American Idol. Did you watch the American Idol? Well, no, I'm not to bring it up, because remember...
Meatloaf can make me watch American
Idol.
But
we had that whole show, that one show that we talked about. I couldn't remember you'd watch it or not, because he did It's All Coming Back to Me Now. And, I mean, I wish he'd done it 20 years ago. And he did a song called Dead Ringer for Love with Cher, which is, I think, a Steinman song as well. So, even though he's not working with Steinman, I think he's still going to be doing some. But anyway, the point, you got to go see him just because, because it's just so great to hear those songs live. I've seen Meatloaf, I think only once, actually, him and Cheap Trick at the Gorge. And it was so great. It was just so cool. I mean, because nobody does music like that. There is really only one Meatloaf. It's one of a kind. I should take a couple of these. People are very patient here. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, I just wanted to let you know about the Costco and caskets.
Yes. Now, you work at, can we say this, you work at Costco?
Yes, I do.
All right, okay. And so what is the deal?
If you go to Costco.com, Costco online, you can order your own, I guess, any casket you want.
I'll skip the DJ joke about, do you have to buy 40 of them? But are they cheaper? Or are they, is someone a discount?
I don't know. I've never actually looked. I've just heard from other employees that have been browsing around and have noticed it.
Okay, but you don't stock them in the store. Like, you have to buy them online,
no,
or whatever.
No, it's all online.
All right, excellent. Fantastic. There you go. Do you sell the Kiss casket by any chance?
Not that I know of.
That's too bad. That's the one thing that could get me to do that. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Let's see. We've got this. Well, there's a lot of observations about the Paris Hilton. This is from Faith about the Hilton phenomenon. We'd ask people why anybody could possibly care about Paris Hilton. I think she's more of a chick's woman than a man woman. Man's woman. She's skinny. She has great hair and great clothes that most of us are too nervous to wear. She has the guts and the bones that so many girls wish they had. Well, I guess that's a fair point. She's blonde and underfed. And drinks for free. So there you go. I guess there's that. But I mean, it doesn't really seem like that. Like, women like that are in short supply in Hollywood. It seems like you could just swap her out with anybody. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, a flying Elvis suffered a broken pelvis during the grand opening of the Glacier Peaks Casino.
So great.
Paul Moran of Las Vegas, who's a member of the 10-member skydiving team made of Elvis impersonators. Members of the troop said Moran apparently misjudged the landing, hitting the ground at 50 miles an hour.
Misjudged the distance to the ground. That's a great phrase.
All right. Now for Britney Watch.
Here's your Britney Watch for Wednesday.
Think I did it again.
You know, it really, the minute we heard this sound there, and it'll never sound as good as it did the first time, but it's still genius, and it was at this, Scotty had us at this sounder. That really is true.
Meanwhile, Kevin Federline's second son with Britney Spears was born just 3 weeks ago, but already the aspiring rapper is back to his old bad boy ways, leaving his wife and babies at home in Malibu to party up a storm in Vegas. He booked a table at Tao for two nights, is one source. He was surrounded by women with drinking a lot and dancing on the banquet. Every time one of the girls tried to take his picture, he freaked out and wouldn't let them.
It's revolting.
In other news, a photographer is accused and Kevin Federline's bodyguard of pushing her camera into her nose and face, leaving her in pain for 3 or 4 days. Snapper Jillian Spaulding was trying to take a picture of Britney Spears' aspiring rapper husband outside the Tom nightclub in Las Vegas. When Federline refused to strike a pose, his protector reportedly says, "Oh, no, you don't," before shoving the camera away into her face.
And then I've got one here, and then you've got one more piece here, which is Spears, to the delight of husband Kevin Federline, it says, has been hitting the gym nonstop to try to get back her pre-baby body. Not going to happen. And the only reason I'm reading this is so I can use this phrase. Britney is tired of always looking fat and bloated. Now, also, there's that. Do you have the one where she says she's, quote, taking a break from having children?
Let's see here.
I had that somewhere. There was a story where she said she was not done having children. I mean, what kind of horrifying phrase is that? Not done having children, taking a break from having children. Yeah. Because that means it is, you know, just wait for everything to be normal and then stretch everything out again.
Wait, so Britney Spears is taking a break?
She's, quote, taking a break, end quote, from having kids. Not from, she's not done having kids. She's going to wait. Taking a break. Just going to wait until that body and career and life and sanity get back to normal and then shove out another one. Yeah.
Well, fans fear she could be ending her pop career. The sexy singer rumored to be shedding baby weight for big comeback. But fans fear Britney Spears' crazy duet with her husband Kevin Federline could end her career.
Oh, it's going to be terrible. It's terrible, terrible, terrible. You know it's going to be awful. And I predicted that they were going to do this duet, and it would be like that Whitney and Bobby thing. Mm-hmm. That horrible Whitney-Bobby thing that ended. And by the way, anytime you're shedding anything, it's bad.
Well, Whitney Houston's decision to duet with husband Bobby.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm just saying. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Was at the height of her career. After the duet, Whitney's career went downhill. Experts feared the same could happen to Britney, some adding that producers may shy away from the star. Another news, Britney admits she loves being naked and often walks around the house nude. Oh, I've always been comfortable being nude. I don't feel like I have to hide anything. Meanwhile, the toxic singer is said to have given her longtime press representative Leslie Sohn Zelnick the boot and taken charge of her own PR. Britney has been previously criticized for managing her own publicity. In June, the heavily pregnant singer appeared for an interview on the Today Show with Matt Lauer, wearing a revealing top and chewing gum.
But their false eyelashes falling off.
Seriously. Oh, those were good times. All right. Well, there's your Britney watch. Should we break here?
Yes.
Let's break. Oh, well, let me play the Weekend Geek extra. So you want to finish the Britney watch here, and then I'll play the Weekend Geek in the break. We'll come back with these calls on the other side. People are very patient here.
Before you go, there's something I want you to have.
It's such a painful sound.
You see, my problem is this.
Innocent. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. We're back after this. Don't go anywhere.
And now, the Rick Emerson Show presents The Week in Geek.
What up, all my fellow scruffy-looking nerf herders? This is Aaron Duran of geekinthecity.com with the all-local edition of The Week in Geek.
Go.
On Saturday, October 7th, the Dark Side Troopers will be hosting Portland's first Star Wars Fan Film Festival. It'll be showing from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater on Saturday, October 7th. Pop on in and say hi to your favorite Mandalorian bounty hunter.
Ray.
Yeah, okay, so I said this is going to be all local edition, but I lied. Wishing to compete with Blockbuster, Netflix is offering $1 million to anybody who can come up with the best ad campaign to increase sponsorship. To me, this is a really foolish contest because the answer is quite simple. You want more subscribers? Offer porn. And, well, offer porn. $19.99 for unlimited porn a month. Hell, I'd cancel my membership to OrionSluts.com. Moving on. Taking you back to the Hollywood Theater in Portland, Oregon, on October 6th, 7th, and 8th, the 13th annual H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival starts spinning its Eldritch Horrors for your enjoyment. Featuring the best in long form and short films dedicated at Master of the Macabre, the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival also has more horror swag and sexy goth babes that you can shake a malignant, disgusting, terrible, horrific, and amorphous tentacle at. There's also a rumor that a certain friend of the neighborhood geek just might be having his own short film showing. Not that I would know anything about that, nor would I know that it's playing at 9 p.m. on Saturday night in the main theater, Short Blocks 4. Tickets are $13 for Friday, $16 for Saturday and Sunday, or you can buy an entire festival pass for $43. Find out more at hplfilmfestival.com. I'm Aaron Duran of geekinthecity.com, reminding you that NyQuil makes a perfectly acceptable replacement for Romulan Ale. This has been
The Week in Geek, only from the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State.